Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. The Milwaukee Chamber Theater production of Terrell Alvin McCraney's play The Brother's Size tells the story of two brothers trying hard to find or cling to their paths in life. Rich with Yoruba imagery and driven by both rhythmic dialogue and a one-man orchestra of percussion instruments, the play is a lyrical and poetic exploration of what it means to be a brother.
I had an opportunity to sit down with Travis Knight and Andrew Mwonge, who play the brothers Ogun and Oshusi, along with the percussionist Yames Finlayson and director Marty Goebel, to find out more about this production.
I want to start with the music, because I know music is such a key part of this play. The rhythm, I mean, you when you read the play, the lines are so rhythmic, everything is so, it's almost contrapuntal, you know, when you look at it, almost like a piece of music. So what are you performing? You're kind of a one-man band over here.
Yes, and the production actually starts with music. I come on stage and I kind of set up my altar and all the instruments, and then I call the ancestors and I call the gods and call the characters to the stage. I am playing primarily percussion, and we've created a musical pit that's comprised of found objects, barrels, buckets, cans, and such, and as well as some instruments that I've brought with me. Some of them are also made from repurposed materials.
You've got pan pipes there. Could you give us a little taste? Sometimes the bamboo doesn't agree. So now, Travis and Andrew, if you ever hear panpipes again, are you going to be immediately brought back to this play?
Yeah, I'm going to turn around and look and see if Yamas is behind me.
So for you two, you're playing the brothers. When you first read this play and you looked at those parts, what did you think?
I was struck by how beautiful the language is. As you talked about, that script is great. And the way that Terrell writes, it's so lyrical and it's so poetic and it's beautiful. And then in the heart of it all, it's also a story about siblings. And I am the older brother. I have two siblings. I have a younger brother and a younger sister. So that's one thing that I pulled out the most is, like, Ogun is looking out and has always looked out for his younger brother. And I found that to be incredibly relatable. And then because I found that incredibly relatable, I knew how to infuse the rest of this script. And then I was like looking forward to coming to rehearsal the first time and meeting everybody and working with everybody and seeing what they were bringing to the table. And I knew that that was going to be something that audiences could really relate to, no matter where you come from. If you have a sibling or a family member who you love dearly, this is kind of the play for you. And that's what I was drawn to the most by that script.
Yeah, there is that taking care of, and then in your case, Andrew, resenting being taken care of. Mm-hmm.
I am the youngest in my family. I don't have a brother, but I have two older sisters. So I related to my character in that way. I knew it was going to be interesting just because of the way the play is structured. It wasn't like anything I've ever done before. Like, we were speaking stage directions, there's music. It was just a brand new thing to me.
Yeah, there was a lot of, like, reading the script, because one of the things that people keep asking who have seen the show, it's like, so I want to read this. Like, is it in the stage? It's like, no, that play comes bare bones. It comes with just the words. There's no stage directions in it. There's nothing to kind of tell you what these scenes are supposed to look like. So sometimes it's just a bunch of what looks like random, like, huzz and this road is rough and things like that, that you're like, how are we going to make this a story? So I was very curious how we were going to do that. But I knew that Marty had a bunch of things up her sleeve.
I did.
Well, and that is a perfect segue to you. What drew you to the play?
I was given the brother-sister plays a complete trilogy probably 5 years ago with, you know, an eye towards actually performing in the Red and Brown Water as Oya. And then intended to do, with my former company Uprooted, Travis and I's former company Uprooted, intended to do an entire season just focusing on the trilogy, and it was just too expensive to do. So when the opportunity came around again to direct In the Red and Brown Water with a collaboration with Marquette and Uprooted, I jumped on it, and that was fantastic. So I got to sink my teeth into it. And then we did that same season do a reading of The Brother's Size, which Michael Wright came to see and asked if I would be interested in directing it under Chambers' umbrella. And I said, absolutely. At this point, we knew that Uprooted was going to be closing its doors at the end of that particular season. I have a really great imagination, and I knew that I could do a lot with this if I had a room of collaborators. So, you know, the character of the Agungun is not included in this play, but I couldn't see how the ancestors wouldn't be called without a musician. I am fond of drumming and live music on stage, and so that is something that all of us in the room, of course, with Yame's doing the work of it, I knew that music had to be a part of it. And then my brother-in-law came in and helped with the step coordination and the choreography. I'm not a dancer, but I know what beautiful movement looks like. So it really was just a whole bunch of people with great ideas who loved a fantastic script.
Yeah, talk about this playwright. I mean, he is so powerful. It's so evocative. And the language is so raw and wonderful. And yet elevated at the same time. It's like somehow he balances all of that.
Well, I've had the plays for some time, and I was really struck with the notion that you could let people know what they were looking at based on you speaking to them, what you were feeling or what you were doing. And I wonder how much confusion in life would be avoided if we could just know what we were looking at. You know, we misinterpret human physical and facial cues so many times. So that was a fantastic instrument that he has figured out how to do. And I don't believe that anyone has done that before. It's also, his writing is evidence of his confidence in himself as a Black man in America and understanding where he came from. So that I think will cover all of his works, including the movie Moonlight, which is somebody just struggling to be solid in self, which Terrell obviously had to go through at some point in time, as we all do, but he sure landed in a solid spot.
Had you two known, or all three of you, known his work before?
I read the plays years ago. I own the trilogy. It's part of it's on my bookshelf. And I read it years and years ago, and I loved it, and I thought it was beautiful again, but it was that whole idea of, how is this even... How do you stage this? What does it look like? Because I'd never seen it. And I hadn't been in Chicago because it was at Steppenwolf years ago. And that was before my time in Chicago. So I didn't get a chance to see it. But I remember hearing things about it. And so I've always been struck by it. I've always thought it was beautiful. And then, I saw Moonlight last year. And I was like, wow, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this
there
is what
is.
This could be. Okay.
There he is, mm-hmm. Yeah. And Andrew, for you?
I had seen Moonlight, but it's really, the language is way different. Just different structurally than this play. I had seen In the Red and Brown Water that Marty directed a couple of years ago. So when she asked me to be a part of this, I was like, okay. Yeah.
And as we said, the music is so much part. It's almost like it's the fourth character in this play, the way it's being described. Because, again, the structure of it is so musical and so rhythmic.
It is. And I'd agree. And sometimes I'm actually mirroring or echoing some of the language on the drums in some of the interludes that I play. This is my first exposure to his writing and his work. I did see Moonlight, but I didn't get into it on this level. And I've been struck, even as we go through the play, how the language, there's a circularity and a rhythm to it. So things that are spoken early on, like come back at different points in the plays, and there are things that I'm still learning. I'm there every night participating in the telling of this story, but there's new information that's coming up all the time, and some of it just really gives me goosebumps and pulls tears when I realize that he has, forespoken certain things that then come back and the language, it's really incredible. And it's kind of, it'll catch people off guard when they first are getting into it, when they first, are listening to people speak their stage directions and all, but it's really amazing.
Now, was this something you composed? with the cast, or did you come in with ideas or musical motifs already?
I came as a blank slate and just and responded. And also, you know, I'm a very intuitive musician anyway, so I listen to the energy in the room and to what's going on. And sometimes instruments will even give you nudges in certain directions. But sometimes I would play something and they're like, what did you do? It's like, that's not here. Let's listen to the tape. Let's like, because what you did then, let's set that, you know. So it was a process.
So you've created a score.
True. Yeah, I mean, it does happen in the room. Yames and I worked together on The Ballad of Emmett Till. So he knew how I worked, which is I would say something, I need a scary swamp feel. And then he would take those words and interpret them into sound. But it does need to be said that the composition of this music happened in the room, mm-hmm. in the same way that the actors are composing and putting their characters together, mm-hmm. which again is a testament to Terrell's script. I love that it's so lean. And he gives you no direction. And to me, that is deep trust in one's writing ability. Mm-hmm. To say, take it and dream with it.
Yeah. Do something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You get to be part of it.
Yes.
You get to be part of that creation. It's like it's slightly unfinished.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's really, I don't know if you've read it, there's nothing. mm-hmm. There's nothing in there. This is, I mean, has been an incredibly collaborative process. I can't say it any clearer than that. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. We took some thoughts and ideas and a spiritual tradition, and we just got together in a room with no egos. Very rarely does that happen in this profession. And unparalleled trust in what each of us could and would do.
Mm-hmm. Which I think, it, along with his writing, he writes in such a lean and theatrical style that some of this text is like, it's so heightened. It's like on the level with verse and classical text and things like that. So then to have to rise to the occasion to take this theatrical language and just infuse it with honesty and authenticity was a challenge, but also incredibly rewarding because we're constantly doing that. And every performance, we're still finding moments to like live in that truth and make it real and act as humans act, as Marty told us to do throughout the rehearsal
process. Be humans.
Be humans. Remember what that's like.
But also gods at the same time.
At the same time. Yes, because, there's very much that part of it, too.
Well, the characters are all named after deities or orisha in the Yoruba spiritual tradition. So they are gods, and each of them, they're archetypes, and each of them have different energies, and that's also influenced, you know, some of the music as well.
Well, and I was thinking as I was reading it, because of that sort of human and deity all at the same time, it was very Greek.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell he's done his reading.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and
yes.
He's watched a lot of Greek plays.
It makes me want to tackle some of,
the
you know.
Style
oh, my
something.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Aeschylus, all of these. I would love to just jump in there now. I'm like, oh, I got this.
Now I know how to do this.
Now, I guess I already did,
yeah.
You know.
Do you think we're in a point in our cultural history where the black voices and the black experience is getting a new kind of respect and a new kind of listening? It feels like it with Peele winning, you know, the Oscar for screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like there's been a shift. And I don't know if that's me looking at it from the outside in, you know, as a white person looking at it going, oh, I think some things are changing. I mean, do you feel like they are?
I do. I think shift is definitely happening. I've had people come up to me after the show and say, oh, I've never seen anything like that before. I want to see more. So I think that the interest is definitely there and the voices are getting louder. It's like in this play, so you get to see black people not how you typically see them. You get to see the vulnerability. And I feel like when you usually see black people, it's like you see the masculinity. Like that's the focus. So it's nice to be portrayed in a slightly different light, show people a different side of people.
It's stereotypes. You all get into whatever that stereotype of the moment is, and it feels like here, at least in this particular play, you're getting to be fully human.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I mean, it's. Yeah. I think we are at an age now that we've all known all along. If people would have just listened sooner, you know what I mean? It would have started sooner. But like, yeah, now we are at a point now where it is everywhere. We have this play that people aren't used to seeing. You've got Black Panther out there right now that is gross. So like all these old tropes and notions that like, oh, well, Black-led films and television shows can't make money, and people aren't interested in that kind
it's
of
like
thing.
Women can't do it.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It is now being blown wide open, and people are forced to listen because it's out there, and the voices are louder now than they've ever been.
Well, and as we know, the second part of what you do is business, you know, for mm-hmm. show business. And the fact that, like, Black Panther is hugely popular and hugely profitable is going to make a huge difference, I think. Mm-hmm. That's unfortunately, we have that economic piece that has to come in. Mm-hmm. But once it does, it's people go, oh, why didn't we see this before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I still think there's a lot of growth to happen. You know, this is my constant soapbox. I love that Milwaukee is embracing this play so much and seeing the quality of a lot of things, the design elements, the actors, the quality of the audience and their willingness to respond or to be still as they watch the plays. I would love to see more. There's still more. There's more to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot more.
I think the war's never won. No. You just have to keep fighting.
Oh, yeah.
And you win little things here and there, but you're always going to have to fight another day.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, there's never time or room to be complacent. Like, it's just mm-hmm. something that we have to continually fight for and do. So, yeah.
Right.
That's absolutely right.
Well, I want to thank all of you for, I know you have a performance coming up and you need to go prepare, but thanks so much for sitting and talking with me.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you, Bonnie. Good to see you. Good to see you.
Marty Goebel directed The Brothers' Size. Travis Knight and Andrew Mwange star as the brothers, and Yames Finlayson is the percussionist. The show is currently playing in the Studio Theater in the Broadway Theater Center in the Third Ward, and it runs through March 18th.